And now on WRS, Michael McKay with the McKay Interview.
Hello, everyone. There are not many small countries, if any at all, so well represented high up in the QS World University rankings. But when I last looked, Switzerland had two. The ETH in Zurich at number 8 and the EPFL Lausanne at number 14. They're both federal institutes. Now that's impressive as the competition is intense. Now, today we will look closely at education. In fact, tertiary education, research and scientific research, especially Switzerland's contribution to and involvement with European science and research, why it's important and what the future holds. My guest is the distinguished academic, teacher, administrator and leader, Professor E. Flückiger. He's the rector of the University of Geneva, president of Swiss Universities. That's an organization whose website describes its purpose as being the common voice of the Swiss universities, promoting cooperation and coordination between the universities and the various types of universities in Switzerland. And not only that, he's also president of the League of European Research Universities, LERU, a network of 23 leading European universities, significant for their work in expanding the frontiers of innovative research. I'm delighted to be sitting in his elegant office in the university. And by the way, this distinguished institution dates back to 1559. That's 463 years, and was founded by Jean Calvin, John Calvin, who needs no introduction in this city. Hello, Professor Flückiger. Eve, if I may. Thanks so much for inviting me and listeners to the McKay Interview to your office today.
Thank you very much, and I'm very pleased to be with you.
It's good, good to see you again.
Thanks.
Eve, when preparing for this radio conversation, it came quite forcefully to me that there's a lot happening in your particular field of education and scientific research, and that the implications of certain events in recent past will have an effect on many of us, even though we might not be aware of that effect. Perhaps they're even having an effect on us now. And let's spend the next half an hour with your help and guidance explaining and clarifying what is going on and why more people need to know. Before we get to the heart of the issues, please, for the sake of our listeners, give me a brief overview of Swiss tertiary education, especially with regard to research. Where are the centres of education and excellence, and how broadly are they financed? I mean public, private, federal, cantons. Ian.
Thank you very much. First of all, I think we need to give very broad figure about the Swiss education system in general. And the first which should be mentioned is the fact that out of 100 young people, a little bit more than 50 of them are choosing to do an apprenticeship.
50%, wow.
Spending half of their time in a given firm, which hire them with a small salary, and the rest of their time they are spending to formal education in given special institutions. A little bit less than 50 young people choose to go to a higher education institution. And there are, in fact, three kinds of this institution. You mentioned already the two federal institutions called the Polytechnical School in Lausanne and in Zurich. They are financed by the Confederation. And beside that, we have 10 cantonal universities, which are public, ten entities, which are public entities financed mainly by the cantons, to which they belong. The example of Geneva University is one of them, ranked lately at the 62 rank of the Shanghai ranking, which is a very high level also of the education and research done at the University of Geneva. And then beside of that, we have also 12 other higher education institutions, which are in fact University of Applied Sciences. And their goal is really to develop application, to have innovation, also to have more applied research.
And these take young people at undergraduate level or only at graduate level?
They're taking also undergraduate levels.
Yeah,
exactly. And then we have, beside of that, 14 University of Teacher Education, which are totally financed by the cantons, and they are located all over Switzerland. And it should be recalled that there are a lot of bridges between all these schools. So it means that everybody who choose maybe to go to an apprenticeship then can go to a University of Applied Science, and then even go to a university after that for some years of education in University of Applied Science.
So the situation is quite flexible.
Very flexible, and I think it's one of the reasons of the success of the Swiss economy. Just let me recall that the unemployment rate right now in Switzerland is 2% or 2.1%, which is very low.
Amazing, yeah, absolutely.
Low.
So Switzerland is, thanks for that overview. So Switzerland's geographically at the very heart of continental Europe, but not its principal political institution, the European Union. So please tell me, Eve, historically, where and how has Switzerland's academic and scientific research expertise fitted in to the continental picture? Please provide some context, especially the period before the EEC and then European Union came to pass. And for example, I understand that CERN played an important part, and of course it still does.
Yes, exactly. I think the European research area started really in Geneva in 1954, where the CERN was created.
As far and back
it was
as that.
Yeah, and it was created, in fact, at the University of Geneva in the School of Physics at the University of Geneva. And it was really the start of the European research area. And then in 1984, there was an extension of this research area with the European Research Framework programs. It was the start of this program, which played a crucial role in the development of fundamental research and its translation into industrial application.
And just give me that date again, 1984, you said?
1984, yeah. Exactly. So it started there. And then in 2007, in Yvonne, another extension with more basic research thanks to the funding of some ERC grants, which are very famous right now, and all the countries are competing for getting such grants. And the success of these framework programs are too often unknown to the general public. This is due to the fact that it takes many years, in fact, before the research carried out and translated into application, really innovation also.
And that's the nature of science.
Exactly, yeah. You need a lot of years just before being able to get an innovation. And maybe I will take two examples to illustrate this translation between fundamental research and then innovation. First of all, the most striking example is the first RNA vaccines against COVID-19, which was a direct result of a research effort financed by the European Research Council some 20 years ago. So it started really with fundamental research. And then the vaccine was done by the biotech company, BioNTech, a European company whose founder, Mr. Sahin and Mrs. Tureci, both of whom came to Germany as Turkish immigrants.
Yes, I saw them on television.
And they were funded, in fact, by the European Research Council, the ERC. They received these ERC grants, and they have been able to develop this research. And then we can say that if science has been able to produce a vaccine solution against COVID-19 in a record time, really, it must be remembered that it was possible because the research obtained funding for research that initially seemed highly unlikely. So it started very 20 years ago, and then there was the application, but it takes time really to go to this innovation. But it's also due to the collaboration that had been established between scientific teams throughout Europe and throughout the world, and finally also because research is an open science and they are sharing their data, and on that they can be able to develop their own vaccines. And the second example, and I'm going to be more short on that example, is the fact that in Geneva we have this firms which has been created called ID Quantic. It's really related to the quantum physics.
Oh, and it was I wanted to talk to you about that later on, on that aspect,
but it's quite interesting to see that this company was founded in Geneva in 2001 by four scientists coming from the University of Geneva, who received large funding from the Swiss National Science Foundation, but also from the various European framework programs. And this company initially operated as a small university spin-off, working on research projects to demonstrate the feasibility of quantum key distribution, what we call sometimes a quantum cryptography. Maybe
we come to that later.
And starting in 2010, the company deployed quantum secure cryptography solution in commercial and government markets around the world. In 2016, the ID Quantic company raised additional capital from strategic investor, including South Korea Telecommunication and also Deutsche Telekom. So it was very interesting to see that the startup was really created in Geneva, in terms of Geneva, and then it was bought by other big companies that invest very much on that field. And we'll come back to that point later on. But you may know that because Switzerland has been excluded from the Horizon Europe program, this company located in Geneva has decided recently to create a spin-off in Vienna because they want to be part of the framework of the urban program. And being in Vienna, in Austria, they will be able to get some funding from the ERC. So it was quite important for them just to continue the development, creating, in fact, 100 new jobs. But it has been done in Austria due to the fact that we are not included to.
So that's a direct consequence.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Eve, you brought me right round to the main point I wanted to discuss in this radio conversation. I've heard about Horizon Europe. In fact, you addressed the British Swiss Chamber of Commerce in Geneva a few months ago about it. Your speech was fascinating. But for the sake of our listeners, please tell me a little bit more about Horizon Europe and explain its importance. As many listening will not be fully aware of it.
First of all, we should recall that this Horizon Europe program is worth 96 billion of euros, which is a very huge amount of money.
96 billion per...
No, not per year, but for 7 years.
Over 7 years.
For several 7 years. But
still
it means
a lot of money.
Also that it was it is in fact the highest and biggest research program in the world, in fact. And it was much more than the former program, which was launched by the European Union, which was 79 billion. So coming from 79 to 95 billion means really that Europe is investing very much into research, fundamental research, but also into innovation. So it's very important to be part of that kind of program. And even if our researcher, even if our universities have other bilateral relations with other countries in the world, be the United States, being the Israel or South Korea, or Australia, many other countries, but there are no other program in such a large amount of money, and we need really to be part of it because we will be in a collaborative relation with European researcher. And it's very interesting to remember that, in fact, if I look at the articles published by a Swiss researcher, in fact, more than 55% of these articles are written by somebody from another European university. So it means really that this relation with Europe is very, very
important.
A lot of collaboration. And it means that it's quite important to be part of it because being excluded from that will not be able to be leader of some collaborative programs that are launched by the Urban Horizon Europe program.
So internationalization is very important to an institution like this and to scientists based in Switzerland anyway.
Yes, exactly. For many reasons, internationalization is really a key factor for a small country like Switzerland, which has no natural resources other than human capital. So the level of economic development of our country has always been built on this fact of production and on the fact that we need to be open to the rest of the world, our internal market being too small to sustain such a level of growth and well-being. And to sustain this level of well-being, our university need to attract the best people in the world in all domains of science. It's crucial to sustain the level of fundamental research done in our university, which is always at the basis of innovations.
Okay.
And to ensure that this quality of research is maintained, it's very, very important to have a high-level competition. When you open a position, a new position at every university, you are able to attract a lot of people who are going to compete for that position. And the fact that there is a lot of competition increases the level of quality of the people who are
going to be. So you're talking about an academic teaching position.
Yes, exactly. Because all these positions are really open to everybody.
Sure.
They can apply from all over the world. And each time that we are going to open a position in Geneva, for instance, we have 20, 30, maybe even 100 people coming from that position, and they're coming from all over the world. And you need to attract these people. And how can we attract such very high-level people? First of all, with infrastructure. We need to have top-level infrastructure that are able to be used by the researcher just to produce the best research which can be done. So the infrastructure is very important.
So you're talking laboratories, equipment, exactly, basic things exactly, like that, but at a very high level.
And I would say that, for instance, for University of Geneva and for other universities, we are quite competitive on that aspect, but we need really to invest more and more in able to have the best equipment that can be able to attract the best researcher in the world. And then we need also to have a very good researcher, professor, who are already at the University of Geneva, because if somebody is here, then it will attract other people because they want to work together. Just give me, let me give you an example. Maybe you have heard that recently received a Fields Medal in mathematics, which is in fact a Nobel Prize for mathematics. And it was given to a young professor, Hugo Dominique Coppin. And this professor came to Geneva some 12 years ago. And he came to Geneva because there was another Fields medalist who was in Geneva at that time, Stanislas Smirnov. And he wanted to come to Geneva because Smirnov was here, and Hugo Dominique Coppin thought that it was the best place for him just to develop his own research, his own development. And he stayed there in Geneva, and then he was giving this, he was awarded by this very prestigious medal.
It's called the Fields Medal.
The Fields Medal. It's okay. Only there. We have the Nobel Prize. It's very interesting because you have Nobel Prize in physics, Nobel Prize in chemistry, and other domains, but you do not have a Nobel Prize for mathematics. It's said that because Nobel has a wife who left him for a mathematician, so
really,
decided
the story.
We'll never give a Nobel Prize on that domain. So they created a Fields Medal, which is the equivalent, in fact, of Nobel Prize, in fact.
Okay, very interesting. My guest today is Professor E. Flückiger, Rector of the University of Geneva, President of Swiss Universities, and President of the League of European Research Universities. Eva, just want to step, not back, but just to one side a little bit before we go back to Horizon Europe. Tell me, how do Swiss research institutions interact with business and commerce?
I think it's something which is very important, because if the university wants to be also useful for the society, and being useful for society means that the politicians are then able to give us more resources just to develop our infrastructure, to develop our research. It's very important to have this link between business and universities. And it is done in many ways. First of all, because we have an education program, and we want to educate young people to fulfill the need of the industries, of the business. So we need to be very aware of what is the need of the society, and just to give them the competencies that they need to develop their business. And we have also a very important continuing education program, where, again, it's very important just to be sure that the employee of this business can also extend their own competencies by following this kind of short program for 1 year. And let me give you an example for the University of Geneva. Recently, we have decided to create a professional doctorate, which was the first one created in Switzerland. It's some kind of
professional
BBA.
Like an executive program.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in really like a PhD. But you are not getting a PhD, an usual PhD, where you would be able to be a professor in a university. Yeah. But it's some kind of like the what we call in other countries DBA, which is a doctorate of business administration.
I understand.
And we created this kind of doctorate because there was a lot of people asking us to develop this kind of program for people being in finance, and we have decided just to do it with a Chinese university. They were sending hundreds of students coming to Geneva because there was a financial place which is quite important for finance and for the Swiss and Geneva economy, and they are coming here in Geneva to fulfill their education on that program, and they're also having then at the end of it doctoral studies and articles which is written in a very practical domain. So this is the kind of thing that we are doing. And also, we need to also develop some research, which can be also creating by innovation new firms and new jobs. And again, to give an example from the University of Geneva, we have created in our university some kind of laboratory for where the firms can come to test their own products. It's called a laboratory of technology programs, advanced technology, and they can use the infrastructure that we have at the University of Geneva just to develop their own research.
That's what happens at CERN, in a way.
Yes, exactly, way. In fact, and when they are coming to the university, they will receive the capacity to use this equipment, but at the same time also the capacity to have qualified people who can use this instrument just to develop new innovation for them, and also to test some product that they have developed and to see if it's working. So this is the kind of thing that we can do with the cantonal business and small firms at the level.
That's fascinating. Now, something slightly different now, but again, it's very important. And I want you to explain. I've lived here for a long time, nearly 40 years, and I wouldn't call the Swiss particularly xenophobic. However, there are some who display a certain narrowness of mind and perhaps even fear of the foreigner, the étranger, the Ausländer. Yeah. So tell me about the politics, Eve, of immigrant foreign workers, especially brainy and talented foreign workers, and the significance of February 2014, especially in the context of Horizon Europe.
Yeah, right. As a small country without any natural resources, if we want to have a very high standard of living as we have, we need to have a contribution of foreign workers. It's a fact. It's an historical fact that somebody maybe may ignore, but it's very important to recall that, because Switzerland will not be the country that, as it is, without this contribution of foreign workers. So it started, in fact, in the 50s and 60s, where Switzerland needed to have a lot of infrastructure and also new capacity in the health system and also for tourism. And it started with a little bit less qualified people who came to Switzerland.
Italy, Spain, Portugal.
Yeah, exactly. But it was very important just to create the infrastructure and the condition for the development of the Swiss economy. Yeah. And without that, it would not have been possible to have this standard of living. And then after that, so at that time, there was a lot of regulation of immigration with a lot of different kind of permits. And then finally, it started that Switzerland needed more and more qualified people. And if you look at the wave of immigration after the 60s and the 70s, you will see that the new immigrants who came to Switzerland are, in fact, more qualified at the level of the Swiss population. So the Swiss economy, to continue its development, needed to have more and more qualified people. And then a major change into the relation with Europe is the fact that to be associated to European Union and to have this association through bilateral agreements, we needed to have a free movement of labor between European Union and Switzerland. So Switzerland accepted that situation, and it was very important to have, in fact, two different circles. The first one was with Europe, and we need to have free movement of labor between Europe and Switzerland. And there was a second circle with other countries which was not belonging to Europe. And then
to the European Union.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it was this votation, very, very sad situation, in fact, because everybody thought at that time that it will never be accepted by the Swiss population. But as you mentioned it, there are some people who are living maybe sometimes in the land and not in the human
in the countryside.
System, countryside. And in fact, these people, in fact, at the end, for a very small majority, they have decided just to limit the immigration and to control what was called the massive immigration in Switzerland. And in 2014, then the European Union decided to exclude Switzerland from the European program. It was the start of this very difficult relation between Europe and Switzerland due to this votation.
But then let's just fast forward a little bit. Then more recently, last year, something particularly significant happened between Switzerland and the EU, which affected relationships. Tell us, or tell me, because I'm interested to know more about this. What happened from your point of view?
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, it's a long story. It started
just,
in 2008.
Just give us the key.
But it started in 2008 when Europe said there will be no more bilateral agreement that we had before. We need to have some kind of general agreement, overall agreement with Switzerland. And then between 2010 and 2020, there was a lot of discussion, negotiation between Europe and Switzerland, and everybody thought that at that time we'll find a solution to have a general agreement between Switzerland and Europe. But at the end, in 2021, the federal government suddenly said no more agreements. We refused to accept what was proposed by Europe and what was also in a way accepted already by Switzerland. And then Europe said, in this situation, we will not be able to continue with this agreement on research, and you will not be able to be associated anymore to Horizon Europe, which is a very consequences. And in fact, they are taking research as a stage for these political difficult relations.
I see, okay. So look, it won't come as any surprise to you that there are some expressions that I hear in this debate which I don't really understand, but I'm not sure that I'm alone in that. For example, what is EU quantum flagship? What does that mean in simple English?
Yeah, I mean, this flagship is only to say that, first of all, they are going to invest 1 billion of euros in this specific domain of science, which is a very specific one, called quantum physics. And quantum physics is three domains. The first one is quantum computing. It's the next generation of our computers, which will be able to have a lot of capacities that our computers right now do not have. And then you have this material computing, quantum materials, which are some new kind of materials, very light one, which will be able to develop also new materials which can be reduce the weight of the plane, for instance.
So physical
yeah,
things.
Yeah, physical things. It will reduce the weight of the plane and to reduce also the consumption of gasoline by this plane, and that will be very important in terms of the sustainable development, because it will be also very important just to reduce the consumption of this kind of equipment. And the last domain, which is very important for our university, is quantum communication, which is a way to communicate between firms, between banks, without any capacity of interacting into this communication, which means it's really totally secure transmission of data between two firms, two individuals, which can be not be excluded.
This is being funded by the European Union.
Yeah, it has been funded.
The consequence of that is that it's broken right now, so there's no way that Switzerland is contributing to this.
In fact, it's a pity, because the best researcher in quantum physics are located in UK, in Switzerland, and in Israel. So Israel is still part of the program with Europe, but Switzerland and UK are not part of that program. So it's really a pity, because it's something where all countries are investing very much. It is the US, China is investing very much just to develop this kind of cryptography, just to secure transmission of data, and we will not be part of it. So even if we are going to be associated to Horizon Europe, we not even know if we'll be able to get some funding from this flagship.
And if Switzerland is squeezed out of this European relationship in science, who benefits? And can't Switzerland go on its own and paddle its own canoe and form new relationships with other countries?
I think everybody will lose of that situation.
Everybody.
Europe will lose it, because they will lose also some of the best researchers in Europe. And so it will be also not to the beneficial of Europe. And also for Switzerland, it's also a loose situation where we are going to lose some financing for being part of this program. So everybody will lose from that. And even if you are going to be able to develop some bilateral agreement or some bilateral relation with other countries, it will never replace what we have with the European Union.
So as a practical man, what is the practical way forward, EU?
I think it's only one way to get out of this situation, is just to get again around the table with Europe Union, just to find a solution to be negotiated and to be associated again to European Union. And at the time we are not associated, I think it's very important that during this time, Swiss Confederation should give more money just to invest into infrastructure, invest into new research that are being able to maintain the level of competencies and level of capacities in Switzerland.
And keep those top people
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly. And to be able, when the solution will be found, to be again a very important partner to European Union. And we know we have seen what has happened in 2014, where we were excluded from this program. And I think it will going to be repeated again this time, and it's even longer than in 2014. So the longer it is, the more it will be a lot of damages to Swiss research and the Swiss community.
And with your long experience and insights, I mean, how do you see the future? Do you feel confident deep in your gut?
I think I was confident at the beginning of the year that we will find a solution, because a lot of people, industries, business, sciences, we're just calling to the federal government to say we need to find a solution. But then the time passed on, and I do not see any sign that something is going to happen. And I think I'm more pessimistic than I was at the beginning of the year. And after this, if at the end of 2022 we do not have a solution, I'm afraid that we'll be out of this program until 2027.
By the end of 2022, which is not far away.
No, it's not far away, so we need really to find a solution. And I think time is going on, and there is no sign on the side of Europe, on the side of Switzerland, that something is going to happen. So I'm a little bit pessimistic.
I see. Well, isn't it never good to end a conversation on a pessimistic note? But it's good to be practical and realistic. Eve, thanks.
Thank you very
much.
Many
times for describing matter so clearly and explaining the importance for Switzerland's scientific research and of Horizon Europe. My guest today has been Professor E. Flückiger, Rector of the University of Geneva, President of Swiss Universities, and President of the League of European Research Universities. Thanks for having me here today.
Thank you very much, Mike.
That was the McKay Interview with Michael McKay. And don't forget, you can hear that interview again on our website, worldradio.ch.